Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. You'll want to get your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 10. We've been studying the story of the Good Samaritan, and we're going to continue that story. It's a parable Jesus told to teach a lawyer about who his neighbor was. The lawyer asked Jesus that question, which is the greatest law, or asked the teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus turned it back on him, says, well, what do you say? And so he answered correctly. He answering said, this is Luke 10:27, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus responded to him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. And in Elam's notes, in a Sunday school lesson notes that he had prepared for November the Sunday schools of November the 30th, 1924, he indicates that love is the soul of this lesson. We're going to return to Elam's notes on this story in just a moment, but I need to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's see what old brother E.A. Elam had to say about this story in regards to love. He wrote, when one thus loves God, the whole man is fully offered to God and laid out in his service. To love God is to obey him, and to love men is to serve them. No obedience, no love. No service, no love. Love for God and men comprises the whole of Christianity because, well, in Matthew 22 and verse 40, Jesus said, on these two commandments the whole law hangeth and the prophets. Love, as described in the Bible, is not a mere sentiment, an animal passion. We read that God is love, but God's not an animal. He is spirit. It's talking about the nature of God. God, love is such a part of the nature of God that it is said that God is love. God's love sent Jesus to live for, to die for, and to do all he did for sinners in order to save them. And God manifested his love in what he did. Had God's love done nothing for the race, it could not have been saved. In that familiar passage of John 3 and verse 16, we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, we read that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit which was given to us. For while we were yet weak, in due season Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. For peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In the epistle of 1 John, toward the end of your New Testament, we read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, hereby know we love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. And in that same epistle, 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, John wrote, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is begotten of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Herein was the love of God manifested in us, that God hath sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Our love for God is active. In 1 John 5 in verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. In John 14 verses 15 and verse 21, Jesus said, if ye love me, ye will keep my commandments. Now those who say they love God, but they don't do what he says, they're only saying they love. They need to show their love by their works, and their works need to be the works that God has appointed them to do. The way we express our love toward God is not by saying I love you, but by doing I love you, by doing what he told us to do. Well, our love for men is also active. It's active in service. In service, we manifest our love for men. As Jesus laid down his life for us, so we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and beholdeth his brother in need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how doth the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 3, verses 16 and verse 18. All the love some seem to have is with the tongue and in word. We read, we know that we have passed out of death into life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. 1 John 3, 14 and 15. But we do not know that we love the brethren by some animal emotion or by some feeling. Hear John again, and 1 John 5 and verse 2. Hereby we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and do his commandments. Or Romans 8, 13, verses 8 through 10, where it says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Our love for enemies is active. We're to love our enemies as God loves us. We're taught in Romans 12 and verse 20, but if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. In Matthew 5 and verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, and pray for them that persecute you. All the above quotations and numerous others which could be made show that love is an active principle. No action, no love. Now let's talk about love of oneself. Self-respect and love of self are not selfishness. The hog or any other brute and the animal in any man are selfish, but love is unselfish. To love oneself is to seek one's own greatest good. To sin is to hate oneself. We read in Proverbs 29:24. Whosoever is partaker with a thief hateth his own soul. This is because this is the way he destroys himself and destroys his soul. Selfishness leads to sin, and is hatred of oneself. He who does not strive to save his soul hates his soul. So he who would lead his neighbor into sin hates his neighbor, while he who seeks his neighbor's good loves him. to do for one's neighbors what is righteous, justice, and mercy, one would have them do for one is to love them as oneself. Love not only works no ill to men, but seeks the greatest good of all. Jesus said to that lawyer, "Thou hast answered right," because he'd answered according to the word of God. And he said to him, "This do, and thou shalt live." And that is, in response to the lawyer's question, "What shall I do that I may have eternal life?" When Jesus says, "This do, and thou shalt live," he's saying, "This do, and you will have eternal life." And as it was with that lawyer then, so it must be with us now. In his attempt to ensnare Jesus, the lawyer was so self-entrapped that he was placed upon the defensive and sought some way to justify his own conduct. Elam writes that desiring to justify himself, that is to show that his conduct toward others was right, he asked, "And who is my neighbor?" The Jews considered those of their own nation only their neighbors. I ask now with all emphasis, "And who is my neighbor?" You know, when it says that the lawyer seeks to justify himself, as I read that, it seems like that lawyer looked rather foolish. When he asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, what do you say?" And then the lawyer gave the answer. He knew the answer to that question. And it really made it look like that the lawyer was trying to entrap Jesus, because he wasn't asking for information. He was asking to test Jesus. And Jesus said, "You've answered correctly. This do and thou shalt live." Well, I bet that lawyer stood there feeling rather foolish for even asking the question. But you know lawyers, they like to look at the fine print. And so when the lawyer answered, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself," well, then the lawyer, trying to justify himself, I think he's trying to justify himself for asking the question. So he says, "Who is my neighbor?" Like a lot of lawyers do today, he's trying to zero in on a technicality. And Jesus is not going to follow this lawyer into technicalities. Jesus is going to answer this with a story. And the beauty of this is to be seen as we examine this. And since you may not be here when we get to the end of it, I'll tell you how this ends. Jesus turns the question around. Instead of the asking the question, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus taught that lawyer to ask the question, "Whose neighbor am I?" You know, the real brilliance and wisdom of Jesus here is shown in this story he told. But let's go back to Elam's notes. "Are the people of my own nation only, or two or three nations only, my neighbors? Who must I love as myself, and whom must I not love?" And that's where we come to the parable. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 30, Jesus made answer and said, now notice, he doesn't get down into technicalities with this. He's going to tell a story. And he said, "A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who both stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead." Jesus answered the lawyer's questions by this parable. It is not stated who this certain man was, but since he went from Jerusalem, it is probable that he was a Jew. The fact, too, that Jesus is showing the lawyer that others, as well as his Jewish brethren, are his neighbors, leads to the conclusion that this man was a Jew. As stated in the geographical notes, the road from Jerusalem down to Jericho was infested with thieves and robbers, and it is considered dangerous yet for travelers to go unprotected down this road and not to go with guards. The traveler of our lesson fell among robbers, who both stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, we're going to leave that poor man in that condition as well as we bring this particular part of the lesson to a close and make a mark, because we're going to continue in Luke chapter 10 and verse 31.